Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for Richard, for his willingness to come and bring your word to us this morning. Lord, we just pray that you will anoint him with your power and give him your strength, Lord, to deliver your word. We want to hear from you this morning through Richard.
Yes.
So Lord, just take all of Richard away from the word and let us be fed from you. And just bless him, we pray.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Bless you. Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Well, this is going to be an interesting morning on many accounts. The first is, I'd like to say thank you very much indeed for your kind invitation to let me come here. It's a privilege. And you're all pretty good looking. Well, let me put it this way, you're looking good. Okay, I bring greetings from two organisations. The Gideons of South Lincolnshire. And you could say, hey, we're not in South Lincolnshire, we are in Lincolnshire. Okay, fine, but there's a little sub-branch that meets south of the border, so to speak. South Lincolnshire, which is the one that I'm involved with. And I have to say, you are in the extreme northern point of that. You may not believe it, but you are. And the second thing is Bourne Baptist Church, where we worship, and I bring you the love and the fellowship in Christ's name from the eldership there. I speak as a person who's on the eldership, so believe me, it works. There we go. Now, let me just introduce myself very quickly. I've brought my wife Fran here. She's going to play a very, very important part in this, and that's just to make her feel good. The second thing is, my style may be different. I like to involve people. So you may find yourselves incidentally, accidentally, or even on purpose, putting your hands up because you know the answer. Because I'm a person who likes to deal, I like to ask questions, and I like to get into discussion. Which is sort of very interesting if you're going to record it. Because everybody will not listen to the question and say, I wonder who asked that and why. You know, that sort of thing. But there'll be that sort, that'll be style. So please don't get embarrassed if I say, and what do you think? And possibly even point to you. I may be obviously trying to point to Fran. But we have this in our home group that we lead. That perhaps I'm leading something and Fran say, yes, but... And then when she's leading something, and I say, yes, but, you know, we have that sort of dialogue that goes on as we try to clarify and understand what God is trying to say to you. And so my prayer today is, A, that we will hear God speaking to us, and B, that the PowerPoint works, or if it doesn't work, then you will be able to get the picture in your mind. I may have to spend a little bit more time explaining it. Okay. So the short, fat, hairy bloke in front of you is called Richard Morrison. I've been a Christian for about, how long have we been married? 46 years. 47 years. Fran said, well, I wouldn't marry you, you're not a Christian. And I knew that God had put his finger on my life and said, time's up. Time's up. Get it sorted with me. And since then, we've had a great life. And so I thank God for that. It's good to remember, isn't it, how far back you go and what God has led on the way. We are actually in the middle of moving. We are moving from Bourne to outside Leicester. But that's another story which I'll tell you about another time, possibly. Okay, so this is my first question and my first click. Where do I point it? I point it there, thank you. Okay, I'll point it and I'll click it. I'm aiming at you, Daniel. Is that all right? Good on you, mate. Thank you. Okay. So, this is something that my son gets into. He likes to know the word for things. Fran does the crosswords. He likes to know the big words. That's his style of life. Okay. So, what is the word for being so hungry that you'll eat anything? Hands up, please. You have 5 seconds. Yes, sir. Starving, did you say? That's good. Anything else? Yeah.
Famished.
Ravenous.
I was going to
say ravenous.
We're going to say ravenous, okay. What about distracted?
No, okay. So when you're hungry, you're not distracted. You're just concentrating on being hungry. So my question is this. When you see this sort of picture, how does it make you feel? Yeah, answers please.
Upset.
Shout it out loud, really loud.
Upset.
Guilty.
Compassion.
Frustrated. Okay, thank you. Have you ever been in that sort of situation? No. Nor me. Who do you feel the most for in a picture like that? The kids? Their parents? The rubbish site owners? What am I going to do with all these people? The governments who have to deal with all of that. Are you getting the picture here? It's more than just one picture of kids who are eating scraps. The Bible says a lot about food. The Old Testament rituals of feasting and fasting. The story of Ruth. You know the story? Fabulous story. The disgrace of poverty to Amos. The curses of Deuteronomy. The Old Testament is full of food. And then Jesus, who appreciated both hunger and food. Lavishness of food. What to do with food. Jesus once said these words. He said, pointing to that way, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." So, here are some circumstances to test your Bible knowledge. What were the circumstances of this particular conversation? Yes, Lynn. That's right. He was being tempted after 40 days of fasting. After 40 days of fasting, he had hunger. He was being tested. Second question. To whom was he speaking? The devil, the deceiver, the enemy. You need to see it on those terms. What was Jesus referring to? Where did he pick up that line from? Come on, you Bible study people. You know all about this, don't you?
Deuteronomy.
Thank you. One of my favorite books in the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. The context of which is Israel's potential entry into the promised land after 40 years of wilderness testing. He's basically asking lots of questions. Do you, the nation, understand God's provision? Have you learned your lessons? That's like this button. Goes back into the past. But also, it's like this lesson. Looking into the future. Will you remember God in your now better circumstances? But even more so, would you obey God? They were there being tested. What decision are you going to make about this particular thing? Do you understand? And the other question which goes with this is, why did Jesus use this statement? Now we know the circumstances. Jesus being tested by the Holy Spirit through the evil one, led to be tested by the Holy Spirit, to be tested by the evil one, for what reason? Jesus' response answers that. The evil one, the enemy, is making assertions. Does God really care for you? Have you heard that before? Genesis chapter 3. Have you heard that in Deuteronomy? In the sense of, choose you this day which way you're going to go. Jesus' response is emphasizing that God's truth covers everything and always prevails, especially over the enemy's lies. Because that's the nature of the question. Did God really say this? Are you really the Son of God? Are you really in the covenant of God's love? Are you who you say you are? Even down to existential matters. You're not going to live by bread alone. Huh? Biggest questions out. How are people going to live? How are my people going to live? God's faithfulness to his Son will continue to overrule any deceit and lie of the evil one, of the enemy. So, being one of those people who listens to things about what's happening, I know I may have a slight sort of, is it a jackdaw mind, they call it, where you pick up that and you pick up that and you pick up that and you put them all together and you expect everybody to understand. This is an example. Is there a parallel to any situation today? The answer is yes. I know you are nodding inside. There are questions today about truth. Whether truth is objective or is it just subjective? What I think. That's truth. What I want. That's truth. What I have rights is, that's truth. Or is it objective? Is there a bigger, wider sphere that people are not paying attention to? Who can stand back and say, this is how it is, says the Lord of all. There's a situation like that. Spiritual attacks about faith in Christ and the authority of Almighty God as ruler, creator, and owner. They are still there. The assertions of self-sufficiency. I don't need God. I hand out New Testaments to people, you know, and I say, would you like a free New Testament? And they say, no, I'm all right, thanks, mate. I said, I didn't ask whether how you were feeling. I said, would you like something? And there's this sense of self-sufficiency in the world. We can find our way out. We can deal with any problem. All I have to do, as this year seven kid said, is Google it. And I said, what happens when you fall down in the playground? What do you want? And you know, you break your arm. Does Google come? No, I expect the teacher. Oh, right. You know, those sort of questions. Okay. Just to realize, you can't pick that up very well. I don't know why. I thought for some reason or other that picture would get blown up. I have no idea why. Okay. It's a picture of flower pots. And in each flower pot is a baby. I just wonder, all these, I think there's 50 of them are there. I don't know where they got them from. It was probably some Chinese thing, you know, or Japanese emperor thing. I have no idea. But anyway, there we are. And they're all calling out, or all they're listening, or they're just blah, 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 blah. Can you just imagine being in a room like that? Can you imagine them all getting hungry? All that sort of thing. Isn't that a parallel for today's world? missing out, not hearing God's word properly because of the noise of chatter. Now, please forgive me if I ask a very personal question and it happens to apply. Are you on Twitter? Twitter has been described as the echo chamber of people's assertions of their perceived right to be heard about anything, anytime. It's an echo chamber. Yes, 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 or something like that. And it just goes on and on and on and on. It's non-stop. It's like 50 babes giving it some. And yes, there is a parallel. Deep down, these babes are crying out for their mum or dad. Deep down, people's cry is, if only what? This is a spiritual dimension. Was that my dad calling me? Did I miss God speaking? Did I not hear? Has God gone away? There is no God. I don't want to hear God. God is out there. He's not here. All that sort of stuff goes on. Yes, there is a deliberate attempt to keep God and his word quiet, denying Jesus' full identity as the Son of God, the Christ. Do you want an example of it? The LGBT plus lobby. That's it. To keep the Bible under wraps, forbidden, to be regarded as useless, unworthy. If anything about the parallel to today's situation and Jesus is simply this, we live in a starving time. So today's reading is this. Yes, this is Matthew 17, 1 to 9. It took place after the feeding of the 5,000. I just find that really interesting, you know. 5,000 people, starving people, Jesus feeds them. Can you just imagine the sound of 5,000 rumbling tums? Jesus feeds them, and then he takes his disciples. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, with him. He led them up on a high mountain. They were all alone. There in front of them, his appearance was changed. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. Just then, Moses and Elijah appeared in front of them. Moses and Elijah were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters. One will be built for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." This was a special opportunity for the disciples to understand the significance of Jesus. The temptations, Jesus is tested in his understanding of the covenant with God. "You are my son. Remember it. I said it when you were baptized. Don't forget it. God will not let you down." And here is the opportunity for the disciples to discover, "Oh, you really are the Son of God. Wow, look at that light." Or as in, whew. So what do they do? Peter wants to have a blue plaque moment. This is so special. This fulfillment of both the law and the priestly roles of the Messiah. Let's continue the story. While Peter was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them. A voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, and I love him. I'm very pleased with him. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they were terrified. They fell on their faces to the ground, but Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." Can I just say that again? Don't be afraid. When the Holy Spirit comes to us, don't be afraid. It's the first words of the angels at the birth of Christ to the shepherds. When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. What do we learn from this? God's overall sovereignty drowns out Peter's human, almost feeble response. Hey, let's put a plaque on it. It's another reminder of God's covenantal relationship with Jesus, akin to his baptism and early promises to Israel through Moses, which the enemy had tried to play down, refute in the testings. The key words are, listen to him. Just after the feeding of the 5,000, part of the, if you like, the discussion of Jesus being the bread of life in John 6, 16 to 68. Jesus asks this question, so what will you do? Will you continue to follow me? And Peter comes up with this incredible answer before the transfiguration and says, Lord, where else should we go? You have the words of life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but men shall live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Deuteronomy 8:3. Well done, Peter. You've got it. You're hearing. You're listening. You're making sense of it. You recognize the authority of God's promise in that. Such relevancy for today. Leave God out of the conversation, and all you get is Twitter. Tickling of fancies. Let's finish the story. They came down the mountain. On the way down, Jesus told them what to do. Don't tell anyone what you've seen. Wait until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. So the big question then was, why wait? That's a good question, I thought. Okay, I made the question up. Why wait? Let's just go back. They came down the mountain. Can you imagine what Peter, James, and John must have felt like coming down the mountain? They went up to the mountain thinking, what's happening? There on the mountain, they were bowled over by what they saw. The only response could be, blue plaque. They were afraid. And then they came down the mountain because they realized Jesus stood alone. How do you think they felt coming down the mountain when they come? I would suggest they felt full of it. Satisfied. Blown out of this world. They couldn't take anything else in. Completely satisfied by the truth of these words, the vindication of who Jesus was. So why wait? The answer? Why wait until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead? What do you reckon?
The Holy Spirit.
A bit louder, please.
You need the Holy Spirit.
You need the Holy Spirit who came after the death and resurrection. The death and resurrection of Christ. That's what it's about. Because in the death of Christ, our sins are forgiven. We are freed, we are redeemed. And to triumph over death, where is your sting, is the resurrection. That is God keeping his promise in terms that we can understand. Put me down, 3 days later, I'll be risen. I once did that in a school assembly. I said, what would you think of a person who said, all right, you can kill me, I'll let you kill me, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be up in 3 days' time. What do you reckon the chances are of that happening? And they said, unbelievable, couldn't believe it. No. And I said, it's there, it's written, happened. There is something about that that vindicates this person, the Messiah. So the big questions are now, does God speak today? You are allowed to whisper the answer, but if you want to shout it, you can do it as well. Does God speak today?
Yes.
Thank you. Good. Well, I'm glad we've got something in common. That's great. How and when And in what circumstances?
Circumstances of life.
This is a very personal question, Roy. I asked you the question, okay? And I'm only asking you because you're a mate of mine. And I thank you for your prayers. It's this. Does God speak to you today? And individually, as well as collectively, we have to come up with an answer. Yes. Okay. And now we come to the next part. How, when, and in what circumstances? Have you your story? When God has spoken to you. You've just known it was God. It was something about this word that had so much drive, so much energy, so much passion about it, so much authority, sovereignty, that you knew this was God speaking to you. Like when Fran said, I can't marry you. You're not a Christian. And when he said to me, stop working for Scripture Union, start the Crops Trust. When he said to us, confirming it over the weeks and months, yes, it's time to move. I want you to do something in your new place. And somebody said, God wants to write a new chapter in your life. And I knew then that God was speaking. You each have a story where you can say yes when a person questions you and says, okay, how, where, when? Tell me the story. And you say to them, have you got 5 minutes? Actually, have you got an hour? Those sorts of things. Why does God speak today? The key words. Listen to him. Why does God speak? Because he wants to tell you about himself and where you fit into his world. Into his creation. He has, some people say, has a plan for your life. Some say he loves you so much he wants you to know that. This is your dad speaking. I thank God this morning in our prayers for the love that my son shows to his kids. We saw them yesterday, our grandkids. Ah, it was lovely. And the way that he looked after them and he taught them. And I just knew that even though at the moment the desert has not come into bloom as my son is concerned, he has experienced the kingdom of heaven because it is affecting the way that he lives. And for those of you who pray also for your prodigal children, keep going, keep going. If they have experienced God's kingdom, he has not let go of them. And you can say the same for your neighbours. That's why God wants to speak to us, because he wants us to listen out for him. He will speak at different times in different ways. So this is about, well, what's all this is about? This is about the integrity of the Bible accounts. I asked our house group, do you know the meaning of the word Islam? Nope. It means submission. When you turn to Ephesians chapter 5 verse 21, it talks all about, it has a key phrase in that, which talks all about, afterwards, about husbands and wives, parents and children, masters and slaves. But Ephesians 5:21 is beautiful. It says, submit yourselves to each other out of reverence for Christ. That's a different form of submission than Islam. Islamic submission is all about do what God says in the law. Paul wrote a whole book to the Romans all about that. For Christians, we discovered, do all that God says because of his grace in our lives. There's a wee difference there. In fact, it's a massive one. So this is about the experiences of people in the Bible, of hearing and obeying or not God's word. How does this happen in the church today? Would you recognize God's voice if God was to speak to us today? Would you recognize that? And what would it mean to you? This is an answer to the so what. Listen to Jesus, the Word made flesh, God's Word in human form, the perfect communication, person to person. This came to me in a new way this week. I was doing an assembly at a primary school in preparation for an alternative Halloween I'm going to be doing there in October 31st. I was going to say Brexit willing. You don't bring that into it at all. But this is about the person, the blind person, for whom a stranger came up and said, "Would you like to see again?" And the man said, "You're right, I would." So he put mud on the person's face and said, "Go and wash in the pool." And he did, and he washed and he saw. And everybody said, "Hey, what's the story? I thought you were blind." "Ah, once I was blind, now I can see. I have made God's story my story. I have made my story part of God's story." How did that happen? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. So listen to Jesus, the creative power of God in skin, so to speak, with the power of the Word of God. In creation, the Word, God just said it and it happened. Jairus' daughter, he just said it, "Get up," and she got up. Revealing even us as we really are. The story of the woman at the well, John 4. You know these, don't you? The Word made flesh, the promise of the Word of God, the relationship that it establishes with us and God through the Holy Spirit. "I will send you a friend." The comforter, the advocate, the supporter, the mentor, the Holy Spirit. The promise of God's Word to Peter's question. Yeah, Jesus has the Word of life, is the Word of life. And the rightness, the Holy Spirit teaching us all things, the right way to do things. Wow, if only our politicians could read the Bible. Sorry, that's my last political statement, but one. That's how it works. And then you have the perception of the Bible. Fran's going to come and give two readings. This is the first of them. Would you please come and do number one? Thank you.
This is 2 Timothy 4. "Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their tickling ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths."
Thank you. There are two views expressed in there. There is the Christian view, preach the Word of God. And it follows from 2 Timothy 3:16, because the Word of God is there. Blah, 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 to teach, to instruct, to reprove, to tell you the truth. Christian view is we teach the Word of God. The non-Christian word is in there as well. We used to live in Glasgow before we came down to Lincolnshire. Spot the difference. Yes. Do you know the motto of Glasgow? The motto of Glasgow, you do, don't you, Gladys? It says, and it's written on the bell of the Tron Church when it was first done, "Let Glasgow flourish by the preaching of the word and by prayer." In 1862, that originally was from said to be a part of the sermon of St. Mungo, who is the patron saint, so to speak, of Glasgow, and was doing a lot of Christian missionary work back in the 9th century, 10th century. In 1862, they changed the motto. Let Glasgow flourish. That is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4. The time will come when people will only listen to things that will tickle their fancy. And that's how it works. The perception of the Word of God. So we have to be clear when we are talking to people that we understand the conditions of our conversation, that people are putting their own slants on this, that and the other. They are changing the environment. But I would like to leave you with this part. Fran, are you ready? The promotion of the Word of God.
This is Romans chapter 15. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbour for his good, to build him up. But even Christ didn't please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you very much. The promotion of the Word of God strengthens us because we understand again and again this is the God of hope. But we also understand that the Word of God, as we speak it, is effective. The two-edged sword, Hebrews 4:12, taken from Revelation chapter 1 verse 16 and chapter 2 verse 12. The two-edged sword. I won a prize the other week for what was it called? Slap the rat. Splat the rat. Do you know, have you played that game for some time? Great. If you've not seen it, you get a bit of tube and you drop some sort of fluffy animal down it, and at the bottom of it you stand there with a splatter. And if you get it, you get it right. I got a huge ginger biscuit, that big. It was great. That's because I'm not happy with the way that most people do it. I'm the double server. Got it on the rebound. Fabulous. It's a two-edged sword. Commentators thinking about what's a two-edged sword? Why is this the Word of God proceeding from God is like a two-edged sword? Because one is the Word directly from God and the other is the Word that you have. Your story. You repeat God's Word. And that's what makes it two-edged. Not just God cutting in, but doing the backstroke as well. You could win Wimbledon with that. That's how he does it. And this is the way we finish off. The Gideon's UK gives everyone the chance to meet Jesus. That's the tagline. It's done in three ways. The first is personal witnessing. People who want to live close to God, living in His ways, praying for His opportunities, sharing one story, listening to theirs. That's about personal witnessing. And before you go today, I'd like you please to take one of these leaflets, just about how it works. But it's your story telling God's story. God's story telling your story. Probably the best known way is in terms of scripture distribution. Offering the opportunity, introducing others to the Lord Jesus Christ. And my dear mate Roy is going to be the Bible monitor. You're going to be given one of those each. you could make a start now. Okay? This is a New Testament. It is not for you. I would like you, please, each one of you, to take it and to pray, God, show me the person you want me to give this to. It might come in a conversation. It might be some. There's a farmer that you probably know called Ian Lawson. You know Ian, don't you? I think he breaks down his farm machinery on purpose. Because every repairman that comes in gets one of these. It's just a matter of saying, dear God, is this the right person? A couple of months ago, I went with a group of a dozen people to the Leicester Tigers football rugby ground. We gave out 800 of these in an hour and a half. It was a bit like this, yes, because they really only want to come and play rugby. But there were one or two who also stopped to say, a Bible, wow, thank you very much indeed. Scripture distribution. We have in the South Lincolnshire area over 3,000 public access places, schools, residential homes, hospitals, the prison, all of these sort of things where we place these. They're fabulous. And that's what we do, scripture distribution. This is your chance. Not necessarily to be a Gideon, but I'd love you to be a Gideon. Or to be a friend of the Gideons. Try it. Be bold. Be courageous. Be full of love. And that's what happens. It's amazing. The stories don't come back until years later. Ah, I was at school and this bloke gave me one of these little red... I've still got it. I know of a teacher who gives them to her RE lesson kids. Wonderful. Being a Gideon is all about being close to God, giving everybody the chance to greet God, introducing them to the scriptures, and sharing the burdens and stories within their branch. The fellowship in Bible and study and prayer, joining in God's work together, giving in prayer. That's what we do. And that's why I'm here to say thank you for your support and prayers. And as they say, I dare you, go on, give it away. That's where I come from. Okay, and on that note, let's do what Jesus said. Let's listen to him. If you're a person who's got a red letter Bible, have you read all the red letters? Red letter Bibles where the words of Jesus are all in red. Carry them out. Great. Okay? Look at these things. I'm going to leave this slide on forever and ever, if I could, after you've done your last song, if there's going to be one. Just make a notes, perhaps, of what they're all about. You can use it as a proper sermon. Or a Bible study. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, thank you that you know each one of us, how we are made, how we work, how your Spirit will move in us to receive your word and to pass it on. We know of the truth of the word of God. We know of the person, the word of God made flesh, that we might be redeemed by him to serve him. Come to us, Lord, this week. Show us the way, speak to us, remind us, fill us with your word of life. And we ask these things, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would be glorified on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.